with Kawhi. I remember when he was grabbing the mic for the Clippers opener or something, and the first thing he goes is, hey, hey, hey.
Oh, God.
Like, all right.
And then it turned into memes with blurred lines and shit.
Welcome back to the Intentionally Foul Podcast, where nothing in sports is off limits and everything is out of bounds. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Jacob, how's it going?
It's going well, man. Finally have an off day. It's podcast day, best day of the week. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, same. I've just been watching some sports recently. NHL playoffs are coming back. NBA regular season is finally wrapped up.
Yeah.
And I really cannot wait for the rest of it. So today we're going to be talking about some sports logos, going to be talking about some of the best games of the past decade, and some superlatives we came up with. So where do you want to start today?
Let's go with logos.
Okay. I split this up into best and worst logos.
Okay.
And the best ones for me, first one I got to say is the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Okay.
Because anyone who grew up watching those movies kind of fell in love with the logo, and they're not going to forget it anytime soon.
Yeah, and the new Anaheim logo is not even close.
Yeah, that one is kind of just really bland and basic compared to the other. I mean, I feel like that's the kind of the deal with a lot of old logos. Like, they somehow get worse.
That's true. It feel like they go to like more neutral colors over time.
Yeah, it's kind of whack. What about you?
Well, I split it up into every different sport. So in the NBA, I've always loved like the Heat logo. It never changes. Well, I mean, the new one, not like the one in the early 90s, but like the new one is so nice. Does it look like a ball sack? Maybe, but it still looks cool.
And yeah. Then
the Lakers, Bulls, and Celtics, just because they're very iconic.
I could definitely see that one. I mean, I've gone on record saying I don't like the Celtics jerseys that much, the old ones especially, but the logo, I've never really had a problem with that.
Yeah. Ever since they changed it to what it is now, and instead of just green and white like it used to be, it's been one of my favorite logos.
Right. Some other basketball ones I got to mention are the Spurs logo. I think they've always, you know, been on point with that. And they've been pretty consistent keeping it for a while. I mean, they've done like minor variations in the past, but I always still think it looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old Nuggets logo, the one where they had the skyline of Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was cool. Dallas Cowboys, just for being iconic, like you said.
Very iconic.
Yeah, so you can't beat that. As far as college football goes, Texas Longhorns, Miami Hurricanes. All about the U and then the Hook'em.
I would also say with college, I would say UNC's logo is pretty sick. They have like two or three, but like I'm talking about like the main one that has the NC in it. And then also Oregon. When you see an O, you know, you already know what it is.
Right. It's, I also picked UNC for mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was good. As far as hockey goes, the Bruins and the Red Wings are two of my favorites, I'd say.
Yeah, those ones are very iconic. And plus, the Maple Leafs is also a pretty sick logo.
Yeah, I like the Maple Leafs one. I don't like the Maple Leafs, but they really killed it with the logo, I can't lie. With baseball, okay, the Mets, Yankees, and Red Sox logos are kick-ass. I like how the Mets have the skyline in it.
Yeah.
And then as far as the Yankees Red Sox logos go, they are just totally identifiable as soon as you see them. Mm-hmm. I mean, people try to take the Yankees logo and do all sorts of variations with their own brands, like the Young Money label. You know, they did their own little twist on that. And with the Red Sox, it's just you see that B and you don't really think it's for anything else, you know? You don't get it confused.
Yeah, that's true. I swear to God, though, in like the MLB, there's a, like, all of them are the usually like the first letter of the team name, right? But there are a few that look almost identical. Like the Giants, Padres, and Cardinals logos all look the exact same because they have a two name city.
Yeah.
So they have the first letter and the second letter combined, and literally the font looks almost identical.
Yeah, sometimes they just don't even try, I feel like.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot more in baseball, you know, because it's just such an old, you know, sport in America.
Yeah.
And it's like they really weren't, they didn't have much to pick with, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that, like, through research, that it all looked the same. The only ones that, like, relatively looked different, besides, like, having just, like, the letters and stuff, is, like, the Twins. It has, like, the TC, which is Twin Cities. It's not even the Minnesota Twins. But with, like, the first letter, I actually like how the Angels did it with, like, an angel at the top of the A. And then the Arizona Diamondbacks, how they have a snake make up the D. I think that's, like, pretty clever.
Yeah, yeah. I think those two definitely killed it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really only get so creative with using one letter. But, I mean, if you're going to do it like that, like, you really can't do much better. So,
yeah.
A couple more. I have to mention just two more. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Because, okay. I don't know what it is about the Steelers, but it's, you look at it and you just know it's a logo that's never going to change.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
Ever. I think it's pretty good. I think it represents, like, the Steel Preserve of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, like, just, I don't remember, the colors that are based on, like, different elements or something like that, right?
Right. There's a lot that goes into the logo. Just, you'd have to kind of, like, study it.
Yeah.
And if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you're just going to know that from, you know, like, just a second nature. Like, you just, you're never going to forget.
Yeah, it's like part of the town.
Mm-hmm. And the final logo I have, that's one of my favorites. It's going back to what I said about how 90s logos sometimes are a little better than modern day ones. And that's the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Okay.
I think that logo should have been what they kept when they moved to Memphis. And I mean, I got nothing against what they got going on now, but you see old Vancouver Grizzlies stuff just sold and advertised everywhere because people like it so much. I mean, just like on Mitchell and Ness and shit like that.
Yeah, the teal color is perfect.
Yeah, and then I saw the Grizzlies use the throwback jersey almost every game in the bubble return.
I think so, like a good majority.
Yeah, it's almost like you forget they play in Memphis, for God's sakes. But yeah, you got any more for your best logos?
Yeah, I know this might sound biased, but the Viking logo is super detailed. There's all these intricate lines, and I think it's one of the best logos.
I like the Vikings one, just because I think that Viking definitely fucks. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Yeah.
And then another, a few other ones in the NFL, the Raiders, the Buccaneers, just because it's like a super fierce, like, pirate flag and everything. I think that's super sick. And then the Chargers logo and Bills logo.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on all those. With the Chargers and Bills logo, I don't think they're going to change those.
No.
Either, like,
even with the new jerseys and stuff, they didn't really change the Chargers logo that much.
Yeah. Well, actually, I take that back. They did change the Chargers logo for like a hot second, I think. And then they might have changed it back. But it didn't look, because it looked so bad that people were just like, you need to do something about this.
Yeah.
But as far as the Raiders go and the Buccaneers go, you might see little tweaks here and there. But they've lasted this long, so I don't think they're going to go anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. One more logo. The NBA logo itself. Okay, there was a lot of this discussion that Kobe should be on it, right? And I don't think that's not a bad idea. I think that people should review that. Is it a historical logo and everything? Yeah, but do logos change over time? It can.
Yeah. As far as those logos for entire leagues and whatnot, I think the MLB one, you know, is great. I think the NFL is fine as is. And then the NBA one, I like it as it is. And I would be totally open to changing it to Kobe.
Yeah.
And I mean, who says it can't change, like, you know, 50 years down the road from then and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that people would really care too much about that. With the Kobe thing, though, is I don't know what pose they would pick. There are a lot of good ones to pick from.
Yeah, probably like a fadeaway jumper or something is what I was thinking.
Yeah. I know people wanted to do the MJ free throw line.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's already the Jordan brand, so that just gets super fucking confusing.
Yeah, that's true. And then you don't want it to be, like, a whole, like, corporate thing. Like, it already is, but, like, you don't want it to be more of a corporate thing.
Right, right. That just caused a bunch of problems, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, for worse logos, I'm kicking this off with the Houston Rockets.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I guess I kind of see what they were doing, but, like, trying to make your R, like, a rocket taken off.
Yeah,
but
what's with the circle?
What's with the fucking circle? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Philadelphia Eagles, it's literally just an eagle, bro.
Like, yeah, like, they didn't really spend that much time on it.
And then with that, the Panthers also didn't spend a lot of time on that one either. So what's going on there? And then next one is probably my least favorite of all time. the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. What the fuck?
It's just a helmet.
Yeah. What it's the like fuck? The least amount of effort that I've ever seen put into a logo.
Right. And it doesn't really help that the franchise is shitty anyway. Yeah. So there's just a few of mine. I'll get back to them later. But what do you got?
I think one of the worst ones is the Clippers. Like, I like their secondary logo where it's just like the ball. But like their main logo where like the Clippers is underneath it. I don't know. It just doesn't look like nice.
Yeah. I don't think the Clippers have ever really nailed it with their logo. Yeah. They've gone through a lot of changes over time. And I kind of liked them during the Blake Griffin CP3 days, that little look. But I think that it's definitely a downgrade now.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. I'm trying to think of other worst ones. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Mavericks.
Yeah, the Mavericks is like pretty up in the air, I guess. It's like horse and basketball. I don't know. It's really just depending on the day. For some of the other ones that I really just can't stand, the New York Rangers, because it's like a police badge.
Oh, yeah.
That just says New York Rangers on it. Like, I don't know why your sports team would want to just act like a bunch of cops. Like, I really just can't understand that.
Oh, I got one. I got one for the NFL. The new Rams logo.
Yeah, the Rams logo, dude, is actually so shitty.
That is ass. And the Jets logo, too, is bad. And the Cardinals is fucking bad.
You see, once the Rams released their logo on Twitter, some guy like photoshopped it within 30 minutes and then just sent it back. Oh, yeah, and it looked way better. Yeah.
See, that's just like, literally, and those people don't even have like careers in sports. Like, they should.
That guy was probably on his lunch break.
Yeah, literally. It looked like I swear to God, it was like within 20 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really fast, really fast. But, man, if you ever look at the old Cincinnati Reds logo, it's a baseball with a face on it, and it looks fucking creepy.
That's some Mr. Met type shit.
Yeah, it's just like that. The last one I got, personally, is the Wizards logo from 97 to 2007 during the Gilbert Arenas years.
Okay.
And the MJ years. It's literally a wizard doing a layup, and it kind of looks like a W. It's like, I can't take it seriously, man.
What?
Wizards playing basketball. They killed it, though, with the whole red, white, and blue scheme they got going on. I like it better than the whole, like, black and blue and gold look they used to have.
Yeah. I like when the Capitals, Washington Capitals, went, like, the same colors where it was, like, blue, black, and, like, gold. Like, I really like that. That logo, and then that reminds me of like the Gilbert Arenas years, like right at the beginning or like the end of like Gilbert Arenas years. Like, those, that color scheme is almost the exact same.
Yeah, Washington sports, some of them like kind of are more tied in with each other, but the, I guess, Washington football team now is just like a little outlier there.
Yeah. All right, you want to go to the biggest games? 2010.
Yes,
I have 2010s, the decade.
Yes, for this one, I have 9 games. Well, not really. I mean, one of them is 4 games in one, but 9 different things to go over here. The first one I'm going to kick this off with is Game 6 of the 2016 Western Conference Finals, when the Warriors, okay, so they were down 3-2
at this point.
Yeah, against the Thunder, the KD Thunder. And before that, they were down 3-1. And they needed to just, like, really make a statement. And Klay Thompson went fucking bananas in this game. Like, this is where he got the whole Game 6 Klay thing from.
Is that the 37 points in the quarter or something like that?
No, that actually ties into my next topic, the Klay Thompson 37-point quarter game. I remember watching this game and just being like, what the fuck is going on?
Because
he could not miss. And when he gets hot, it's literally unstoppable. Another NBA game I had. Okay, Game 6 of the 2013 Finals when Ray Allen hit that shot.
Okay.
Just the whole momentum changed during the end of the game. Like, the Heat were so down going into the fourth quarter. LeBron's headband comes off, and he, like, goes Super Saiyan out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard goes to the line with the Spurs up 2, is 1-for-1. If he makes both of them, the Spurs win the whole thing. But he goes 1-for-1. Ray Allen sends it into overtime. And then, even at the end of overtime, Danny Green can win the game. Chris Bosh blocks it.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I got a basketball one. Kobe's last game.
Yes, I definitely agree with this.
60-point game, literally against the Jazz?
It was against the Jazz, yeah.
Dude, that was one of the greatest things that I've ever seen.
What I really like about that game is at the very end when Kobe's doing that final free throw for 60, Gordon Hayward actually steps forward a little bit. So even if Kobe missed, he could redo it at 60.
Well, I feel like the NBA refs like really don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I literally watch some bubble basketball and Russell does it all the time. Russell Westbrook does it all the time.
Yeah, it's a pretty rare call too. You know, and I mean, at that point, the Jazz knew they were out of playoff contention, so it wouldn't surprise me that he was doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got another one?
Yeah. Game 7, 2016 World Series, Cubs versus Indians. Cubs finally break the curse. Well, over 100 years of not winning the World Series. Crazy.
Yeah, I actually included that on my list as well. I remember watching them come back against the Indians, and I've never cared more about a team that I'm not a fan of, really.
Yeah.
In baseball, at least.
In the exact same fashion, the Cubs won 3-1, over 3-1, right? Well, Cavs versus Warriors, Game 7, 2016. The same year, same shit happens. Twice. In two different leagues, coming back from 3-1 to win the big thing.
Yeah, also had that one on my list for sure. Because, okay, I don't think the Warriors really had any excuse for losing this game. I mean, people will say, oh yeah, but Draymond was suspended going to Game 6 in Cleveland. Okay, look, here's the bottom line. All right, you have a chance to win it with a healthy Draymond at home, Game 7. You're a 73-win team. You came back down 3-1. You can close out up 3-1, but you didn't do it. Yeah. So I just don't think there's any excuse here. The Cavs were just the best team. Next is going to be the Auburn Alabama Iron Bowl, where it ended on that crazy kick return
off of the field goal that missed.
Yeah, I remember at the time I was in New York City, and I was walking past this bar, and we were just seeing that the game was winding down, and then that happened, and the whole place inside just went apeshit.
Yeah, dude, I can't imagine.
It was nuts.
All right, I got another one. Vikings versus Saints in the 2009 NFC Championship. I know it's supposed to be 2000s. Technically, it was played January 24th, 2010, so it counts.
I would count that too.
One of the worst days of my life when the Vikes lost. Brett Favre throws an interception, crosses body. God damn, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that was tough because I really do like Brett Favre, but I also do really like Drew Brees. And I knew that either one of those guys was probably going to beat Peyton the next, you know, in the Super Bowl. So it was really hard to pick someone to root for or be against in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Next, the UNC versus Villanova national championship, ending the March Madness on a buzzer beater. Are you kidding me?
Oh, and two game winners, potential game winners. Like Marcus Paige comes down, hits a crazy fucking shot. And then Chris Jenkins hits the buzzer beater.
Right. I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. But that's really the best you can ask for.
Yeah.
It really is.
Especially at that, like, at the end of March Madness. Thank God it, like, didn't happen earlier. But, like, it ends on the national championship game. That's crazy.
Right. I don't know, man. I hope we see something like that pretty soon. It was tough not having March Madness this year.
Yeah.
But what else we got?
Patriots, Seahawks, Super Bowl 49.
Yeah, I got this one on there.
It's crazy.
I remember watching this game. Malcolm Butler made that play, and everyone in my living room was screaming. Everyone. And then I was getting Snapchats of people screaming. Dude. And I put a story on Snapchat of me screaming. Like
that game was beyond crazy. Like, Baldwin catches that crazy catch. Like, it goes on his foot, and then he kicks it up, and he catches it. Well,
yeah, it's weird, like, because so much lucky shit was happening at the end of that game. I was like, okay, honestly, whoever wins this game, it's just whoever luck, you know, decides. Because, man, the Seahawks were cheesing earlier in the game, and then the Patriots were cheesing to respond, and then just, like, cheese fest at the end.
Yeah.
Like, and then everyone starts fighting, and Gronk is, like, quote-unquote, throwing haymakers at everyone. You really can't ask for a better ending than that. As far as Super Bowl games go, I'm going to say Super Bowls 48, 49, 51, and 52 were all crazy good. Mm-hmm. Because 48 is the Seahawks blowout versus the Broncos. Yeah. I know some people think that might be boring, to watch. But look, it's Russell Wilson, up-and-coming QB, crazy good defense, beast mode against Peyton, just getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, like towards the end of his career.
Yeah, yeah. And Peyton obviously redeemed himself a couple Super Bowls later.
At 50.
But yeah, 50 was good. But I'm not going to forget the Seahawks that year, because that was the last time I think an NFC championship or Super Bowl championship team was kind of considered as like, oh, is this the next dynasty?
Yeah.
Because you see NFC teams come and go in the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, are they going to be back? And most likely, no, they're not. But the Seahawks, you know, they came back for 49 and,
yeah,
you know, they had a legit shot. Next, of course, is going to be 51, the 28-3 lead. Mm-hmm. That is a classic for sure. First overtime win in Super Bowl history. Biggest deficit erased. Just Brady's fifth ring. A lot of records just
iconic. Set.
Yeah, all in one game. And then the one after that is the Eagles against the Patriots.
Yeah, the this Philly
was
special.
The Philly special. This was tough for me to watch, obviously, as a Patriots fan. But I give Philly a lot of credit because they lost an MVP candidate in Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. And they just kept fighting and fighting up until that point. And Brady played the best, one of his best games. You know, he threw over 500 yards, I think.
Yeah.
Still a Super Bowl record. It was a losing effort. And the Eagles RPO that year was unstoppable. So at the end of it, I'm like, okay, I'm happy for the Eagles. Kind of sad about the Patriots, but there's obviously a defensive problem here.
Yeah. And that was like the first year that RPO like really came out, and the Eagles dominated it. No one else really knew how to like run it that effectively.
Right, right. So I think the only loser of that game was Carson Wentz, because now people are always going to say, oh, your team did it without you.
Yeah.
And some people think, oh, Nick Foles is better than you, yeah, so we should have kept him.
Yeah, that's why he got a big-ass contract with the Bears.
Yeah, that a lot of different outcomes if the Patriots won that game. Yeah. I mean, Carson Wentz would be taken a lot more seriously. Nick Foles wouldn't be getting paid as much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. You got any others?
Yeah, Super Bowl 47, Ravens 49ers, the match of the Harbaugh bros.
Oh, yeah, that's where the lights went out, right?
Yep, that's for like 30 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, that was fucking weird.
I got another one, but it's not, wouldn't necessarily call it a game, but I have two of them. Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, yeah, I remember when that was happening, and I couldn't really tell what the fuck was going on, because Mayweather was playing he was very defensive, yeah, you know, he plays strategically, so he knew what he was doing. But McGregor, I was expecting him to do pretty well, you know, in a boxing match, yeah, but he exceeded my expectations still.
Yeah,
he did pretty well.
And they both got hella paydays.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. Another one with Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather. Probably one of, like, the craziest boxing matches of all time.
Yeah, that was another one where Floyd just kind of ran around a lot.
Yeah, two legends just going at it. Like, that's the only reason that Floyd Money Mayweather will ever fucking fight from now on. Unless it has to be a legend. Otherwise, he's like, fuck that. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Because he's still undefeated.
Yeah, he's kind of slowing down now. I feel like to get him to fight again, it is taking a lot.
Yeah.
A lot more than they used to, just because, I mean, he doesn't really need any more money.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense.
And then we also can't forget probably the most dominant team of the 2010s, the women's U.S. national team.
Yeah.
Killed it against Japan in 2015 at the World Cup. Killed it again in 2019. Man, they're just an unstoppable set of girls or women that just like dominate the world.
Yeah, I think the women's team is something that people really need to look at a little more seriously, I guess, because it doesn't have as big of a draw, obviously, but who doesn't like watching the U.S. win at, like, anything,
yeah,
you know?
And they've been good. They're 10 times fucking better than the men's soccer team. We haven't been good since, like, the early 2000s when it was, like, Landon Donovan and fucking Clint Dempsey.
Yeah, and even with that little 2014 team with Tim Howard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember, like, people thought that team was amazing, and, like, yes, they were good, but compared to Germany, who ended up winning the whole thing, like, we would have gotten our shit rocked. Yeah, they were pretty mid in the grand scheme of things.
Dude, Germany killed that World Cup.
Yeah.
And then the Netherlands killed it later on. It's crazy.
I can't wait for the next World Cup because it's one of the few times I'm fully into soccer. Yeah. I do like watching it every now and then, but you really can't get me to miss a game whenever it's going on. Let's see if we got any more. Yes, I have one more to finish this off.
All right.
And it happened just last year. It was the Tiger Woods Masters victory.
Oh, after such a long time.
Yeah, because no one thought he was going to do it. He had been through so much shit leading up to that point, and he somehow pulled it off.
Yeah.
And now everyone kind of just forgot about all the shitty years, and they take him seriously now.
Yeah.
Which is the best thing that could happen to him. I remember some guy, he put like 10 grand on Tiger to win the Masters and walked away with like half a mil.
Yeah.
Coming out of it.
Dude, that's
nice.
Coming back from all of that stuff, media and injuries and just like bad press and everything, like that's some goat shit to like turn it around and turn that energy, that negative energy into something where he can just like go rehab and work on his game. And then he comes back and wins arguably the biggest tournament of the entire year in the PGA after so long. It's goat shit.
I had some sympathy for Tiger because sometimes people get caught doing shitty things and they don't really care.
Yeah.
I could tell Tiger cared and he was like, yeah, I fucked up, but I'm going to keep trying. Try to redeem myself, and he did. So good for him.
Yep.
You got any more games?
Yeah, Clemson versus Alabama 2017 and an NCAA championship with the Deshaun Watson finding Hunter Renfrow for the overtime touchdown pass.
Yeah, I know we've covered this game with Watson before, but we got to talk about it again because this game is fucking great.
Yeah.
Alabama getting dethroned is something that people love watching. I mean, look, Alabama, sure, like they get good recruits. They win a lot. Yeah, good for them. But it gets a little boring after a while, guys.
Yeah, true.
So I think that because of that game and how Watson played, it makes no sense why he went that low in the draft. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to ask the Chicago Bears why they didn't pick him or Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with Mahomes, like, okay, Texas Tech didn't do that much with him. But with Watson, we already saw him like just destroy Alabama's defense. Like, yeah. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. We've downloaded it on our phones and it's probably one of the smoothest fantasy sports apps we've ever used.
They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport.
For the NFL, you choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup.
In NBA, MLB, PGA, or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup.
Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur.
The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is.
Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool.
For PGA, Thrive has new contests each day of the tournaments, so don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut.
Even better, you can win a lot of money. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018.
Use promo code FOUL20 when you sign up today, and you'll receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more.
Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
So, moving on. We have a few superlatives we made up. And kind of just like...
These are fun ones.
These are fun ones. we just kind of wrote them down as they came along. But I think they're pretty good. Let's start off with the first one. Most likely to eat ass.
Most likely to eat ass. Oh, yeah. By the way, if you're listening to this, you should probably turn it down if you're listening to this on a Bluetooth speaker. But most likely to eat ass, Michael Thomas is my pick.
Yeah, I would say Michael Thomas.
You just know he loves to eat ass, dude. He just got that vibe.
He's a... I don't know. I feel like his voice is so odd from like just years of eating ass. Like it's got to be the comments.
That's what it's from.
For me, I'm going to pick two. Harden, okay. Because he's always in the strip club.
Yep.
So you just know he's been eating ass. And plus, like, that's got to be a bitch with that beard catching everything.
Jesus.
And then Gronk because...
Oh, look, fuck. I forgot.
You just... Like, Gronk's personality, it's... if some chick is like, yo, Gronk, eat my ass, there's no way Gronk's gonna be like, nah.
He's gonna be like, that's a full send.
Yeah, so I really can't think of two other guys besides those.
Those are good ones.
Yeah. Next, we have Class Clown.
I got three for this. Marshawn Lynch, Shaq, and the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I feel like Kawhi is the type of guy who just, like, says everything ironically or sarcastically, and it's funny.
Like, he's got, like, I don't think he tries to be funny, but just what he does makes him funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Like, Shaq and Marshawn, like, Shaq for sure says shit to be funny. Marshawn can say some stuff to be funny, but he's, like, in the middle of Kawhi and Shaq, where, like, he'll say something ironically, and people will think it's fucking funny.
I remember when Marshawn got invited to the White House or something, and everyone there was in a suit, and he was there in, like, this, it's like, Bape sweatpants or something like that. Yeah, and then the Shaq's a goof, and with Kawhi, I remember when he was grabbing the mic for the Clippers opener or something, and the first thing he goes is, hey.
Oh, God.
Like, all right.
And then it turned into memes with blurred lines and shit.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I can only imagine what the fuck he's going to do once the Clippers make it further, because he's going to be on the mic a little more, and I think something funny is going to happen. I only had one guy here, and it was J.R. Smith.
Oh, God.
And it was more like the class clown in the sense of, like, the guy you laugh at.
Oh, the guy you make fun of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because anything is possible, as we all know. next, we got most likely to be a coach.
Okay.
I picked a couple people for this. First one I was thinking of was Reggie Miller.
Mm.
I'm actually really surprised he isn't a coach now, because, like, being on TV, you got to get tired of it after a while. I feel like that's what happened to Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
You know, he commentating for such a long time, and he just said, fuck it, I'm going to go join the Warriors. And then now he has championship rings. With Reggie Miller, I want to see him go back to the Pacers and coach them. I know the Pacers have a great coach already, but seeing Reggie, that'd just be really fitting. And then also, if the Rockets get rid of Mike D'Antoni, because I know they're a little, like, on edge with the guy right now,
mm-hmm.
I think Reggie Miller, a top shooter, coaching a guy like Harden would really go a long way.
Yeah, that'd put some killer instinct into him even more.
Yeah, yeah. And then LeBron, just because I don't think he's going to leave basketball
when
this is all said and done.
I guarantee you, I'm making a bold-ass prediction here, that LeBron will coach Bronny sometime down the road.
I think he's either going to play against him, play with him, or coach against him or with him.
I'm going all three.
Yeah.
He's going to do all of them. LeBron's he's a guy that will never quit.
No. And he's always going to want to try to compete at the coaching level too. I think he's a great coach just as a player right now. Yeah. You know, I think he did more coaching than T. Lou on the Cavs.
Probably.
You know, and Spoelstra is a great coach, so I can't discredit him. But with Frank Vogel and Tyronn Lue, I mean, LeBron was really the coach of the team. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Who do you got for that?
I got LeBron too. And Larry Fitzgerald, I feel like would be a pretty decent coach. CP3 and Tim Duncan. They're all older souls that have a lot of maturity, and I feel like they could bring a lot to the schemes and stuff like that of teams.
Right. I mean, with Tim Duncan, I could very well see that. A big debate in the Spurs world right now is, once Pop leaves, who's he going to call up? Is he going to call up Becky Hammond, first female NBA coach? I mean, she's fine. She coaches the summer league teams, and they always do pretty good. Yeah. And then Duncan actually coached a game against the Hornets this year. And I mean, the Hornets are not great by any means, but hey, they won, you know? I mean, I don't really doubt that any one of them would be bad.
Yeah.
And I'm open to either one. But yeah, Duncan, I could definitely see. Yeah, so next we got most likely to do a hit and run. I'm going with two people on this. Rosas, the Giants kicker, because he actually did get in the fucking hit and run previously this year. And then Meta World Peace.
Oh.
Because do you see what he did to Harden? I mean, like, he basically just fucking hit him and acted like nothing happened.
Yeah. I have three for this. Grayson Allen, Ndamukong Suh, and Vontaze Burfict.
Oh my God,
dude. All three of those would do that.
Grayson Allen, I don't know how he just kept getting away with some of that shit.
Yeah, he's the most likely to do it out of my three.
I'm surprised no one in the NBA has, like, tried to knock him on the floor because of what he does in college. Because
he doesn't get any fucking minutes. That's why.
Roasted. Next, I'm going to have to go with... the next superlative we have is most likely to jerk off in public.
Yep.
And I have Reese McGuire on here because he actually did get charged for exposing himself in the parking lot.
That's what I got too.
Yeah. And then other than that, people who I could just kind of see accidentally... like maybe getting fucked up and then going out in public and jerking off. J.R. Smith.
I got Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of falls in that criteria. I can't really think of anyone in like the NHL. I feel like they take it a little too seriously.
Yeah, they hold themselves pretty well. It's mostly like the NBA and NFL where like you see a lot of like media attention where like they say stuff or they do stuff kind of thing.
Right. Most likely to fart in an elevator. This is Kevin Durant for me because that's basically what he did to the whole league when he signed with the Warriors. Like, okay, is it? I've heard this on another podcast. I'm going to give credits where it's due, but was it illegal for Kevin Durant to sign with the Warriors? No, it wasn't. He could do it, you know, but it's still a shitty thing to do. Is it illegal to go in an elevator and then fart with a bunch of people? No, but it's still a shitty thing to do.
Dude, that's a good one. I would say another Warrior, Draymond Green, would go on an elevator rip ass on purpose.
Yeah, for me, he fell in between the fart and elevator category and the hit and run category.
Okay.
You know, but it's mostly just kind of like who would do some fuck shit, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, fart and blame the pet. Okay, yeah, this is going to be Mike Fears for me because... basically, what he just did for the Astros recently, he was the whistleblower, right?
Yeah.
And he would never have done that if he was still in the Astros, right? But with blaming them for sign stealing and calling them out, it's like, okay, we all know he did it too, right? Like, he knew about it. He was a part of it. But he's not going to get punished because he's not in the Astros anymore. Yeah. You know?
That's true. I would, for this one... again, I have Draymond Green. Draymond just seems like a guy who likes to fucking fart and blame other people or just do it on purpose just to fuck with people. Draymond, good job farting, man.
I feel like anyone who commits fouls and then just like seriously bitches to the ref like and saying it was something else or like it didn't happen, they could easily win this. But we see that happen with so many players. I could go on for days.
Yeah.
I really could. Next, most likely to become president. I have two for this. One is like a dead ass serious pick, and one is like a, yeah, I guess I could see them doing it.
Okay.
The dead ass serious pick for this is a guy named Tom McMillan. He used to play in the NBA in the early 80s, right?
Okay.
And he, I'm not even kidding, after he was done with his basketball career, he was part of Maryland Congress, and he served under George Bush Sr., with the Department of like Physical Fitness or something like that.
What?
Yeah. And there are photos of like, or videos of him playing Michael Jordan in basketball. So when I make jokes about Michael Jordan's competition, like sometimes I'm joking, but Michael Jordan literally played a congressman.
Shit. I would go with either deadass, The Rock. He's a fucking athlete, you know, WWE. I would go with The Rock. Or Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
Alex Caruso for fucking president.
I like that. Another Laker that, you know, falls in this category for me is just LeBron. Because I don't even know if LeBron is going to seriously run for president. But you have people asking him if he's going to run. Mm-hmm. Like, one person that asked him recently was Draymond Green.
Yeah.
And he did that this past March. And he was like, you know, I'd really like to see LeBron run for president. And then LeBron was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But... who knows what's going to happen after he's done with basketball.
Yeah. I feel like LeBron would like be the perfect president or like at least an advisor or something. Like, I feel like he's got a lot of like ideals that might be beneficial.
I just know with, you know, I don't really know how he stands with like the current Democratic Party, but when Obama was president, he was pretty close with him. You know, I feel like he's an athlete in America that like represents so many people with social activism that if it's the right political party, you know, obviously like him and Trump don't get along. Yeah. We just know that. But if it's the right president for him in office, then he's going to definitely have some sort of contact and pull with them.
Yeah, LeBron's got like the biggest, he's like the biggest athlete in the entire world. So he's got the biggest voice. Why wouldn't he use that to like benefit people that need it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. And then final category we got is most likely to be a porn star. I have some fire picks for this one.
Okay.
Okay, Gordon Hayward now. Because if you've seen him in the bubble, he has that porn stash going on.
Okay.
People like to call him Sailor Hayward. No, it's porn star Hayward. And he's been playing his ass off recently ever since he got this porn stash.
Okay.
You love to see it. Next is Jamal Murray. Because I don't know if you remember this, but there was an Instagram live video that got leaked onto his account of his girlfriend like blowing him.
Okay. And, oh yeah. Yeah, that was like recent, wasn't it?
It was really recent.
Yeah.
And I still can't even believe that happened. Oh, it's a little side note with that. Donovan Mitchell had his Instagram live pulled up on accident recently and people heard like moaning, so he was either getting laid or like watching porn.
Oh my god.
And then next, Earl Thomas. Because he was having a fucking threesome with his brother.
What?
And he got walked in on with from his wife. And his wife like almost tried to kill him. Yeah,
that's right. Fuck. I totally forgot about that. That literally just fucking happened.
Yeah, he was taking some girl to Paris and showing her the Eiffel that day.
Jesus.
And then final pick, Brett Favre, for just because he sends dick pics.
Damn, those are fucking really good. I picked Pat Beverly.
I feel like Pat Beverly, I should have picked him for the eating ass category.
Oh yeah, he would eat ass as a porn star.
He would like defensively eat ass, I feel like. Yeah. Like the hustle that he gives, yeah, that's what he gives when he's eating ass, you know.
Oh fuck. But yeah, well that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on so you never miss an episode. Go follow us on all our personal social medias. Follow us on Instagram at IntentionallyFoul. I'm Jacob.
I'm Cam.
And this has been an Intentionally Foul podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.